Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. This Saturday, the Irish Cultural and Heritage Center on West Wisconsin Avenue hosts internationally acclaimed harpist Kim Robertson. The Wisconsin native is joined on stage by a number of local musical friends, including Irish flute and whistle player Brett Lipschutz.
Lipschutz is also a member of the band Mazurk, which focuses on the Celtic tradition in Brittany. Well, ahead of that show, Robertson and Lipschutz join me in the studio to play a few tunes, including this one, Do You Love an Apple? Lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kim Robertson and Brett Lipschutz in the studio. Brett, I understand you dashed over here from a French class.
Yes, I teach at University School of Milwaukee, and I told my French class I was going to be on the radio and that they needed to work.
So we'll see. Hope they're working while you're here.
I hope.
Yeah. Well, and Kim, we didn't draw you from anything, did we?
No, it's just bed. Oh, wait, this show is at two different times of the day. I'm talking about the morning shift here. It's really been a long time since I played on the show.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you back on the show again. Thank you for bringing. Tell me about the instrument that you brought with you today.
So it's a Celtic harp as opposed to a classical pedal harp. And this particular one is made in France by the Camac Company. There's a very Celtic region of France called Brittany. They have their own Celtic language, their own music, and their own dances, and they're very, very passionate about it. And so there's a whole harp company there, quite a prominent one. They also build pedal harps, but they're one of the few that really don't just make a token Celtic harp. They actually specialize in it. And so that's what this is, and this is a special one. It's half fiberglass, and then the sounding board is wood, so it's very lightweight. So
oh, you just literally almost picked it up with one hand.
Yeah, I know. It's actually lighter than some women's purses.
And Brett, you are playing a whistle, mm-hmm. but it is one not from France or Ireland.
That's true. It's a tin whistle made by Michael Burke in Southern Illinois. And he's a former engineer that decided to get into whistle making because he had such precision in his stuff. And I think he was an amateur player, too. And his whistles have become pretty well known all over the world.
So did you know that Brett was a bassoon major in college? Is that correct?
Although yeah. I quit the bassoon major, I never finished.
Yeah. You didn't? Okay. Yeah. Just like my music major. I was a French major, actually.
Right. Yeah. And me too.
Oh. Right. French majors, and I understand you have the Sorbonne.
I went to Sorbonne and Conservatory of Music there and basically spent 2 years there drinking a lot of coffee and playing music sometimes, mostly learning French.
Were you working on, say, the music of Brittany at that point, the Breton music, or were you working more on classical music?
Well, I had just discovered, actually, this was a while ago, and I don't know if you've heard of Alain Stivell, who is this wire string harp player from Brittany, and he put out this album called Renaissance of the Celtic Harp. And I think for a lot of us, especially here where there wasn't a lot of Celtic music in the airwaves yet, it changed our lives. You know, it was so beautiful. And when I heard that, I knew I never wanted to go back to playing the Nutcracker cadenza. I wanted to play this beautiful, soulful Celtic music. And, you know, of course, it took years to get all the way there. But I bought a little harp to take to France, but I was studying mostly French and pedal harp, and the teacher wasn't much interested in it because she was classical at the conservatory. And you know how it is when somebody says, well, that's not important, and you go, oh, yeah. And so I think because of all the discouragement I got, it made me actually love it more. And I took it all over Europe and, you know, played youth hostels and just had so much fun with this small harp. So, and I still have a couple small harps. I call them lap harps that I, you know, take everywhere with me. So, yeah, so that was the beginning, actually, of the Celtic music influence in America, I think, even more so than the Irish bands, at least for the harp players I'm talking.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Stivell, I mean, wonderful stuff. I still love listening to him. But you're right, you know, the Irish music that came over with the Clancy Brothers and things in the 60s and in the early 70s, the Boys of the Loch from Scotland, you know, there were no harps. It was a lot of whistle,
The Chieftains were the exception.
In the late 60s, Kiltory, Coolin, and all of that, yeah.
And then Clannad had a harp for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, I think even those of us who are really into the music, you think of the chieftains. Most of the time, you're thinking of the bouzoukis and the fiddles. And was there also French Canadian influence in harps here?
Yeah, it's more Scottish influenced, especially at Cape Breton. They have a whole school there. They teach Gaelic, they teach harp, they teach all the traditional dances. And some say it's more pure than what's in Scotland now, because it was an island and they were immigrants and they probably didn't have as much, pollution of the culture, because, I mean, now everything's interspersed with the internet influence. And I mean, I don't know what's pure anymore. But on the other hand, a lot of us aren't trying to be purists either, but I think it was mostly Cape Breton, though, and Acadia, where they had some harp, but not so much. I mean, but then there's also even records of harps in the Appalachian Mountains that immigrants, brought over and gave to their granddaughter, and they'd find them in these attics. And so there's kind of a lovely tradition of, Motley Crue, who's played the harp for years, and it's always been a fringe instrument, and I would say it still is. A lot of the festivals, the harps are over near the porta potties, between the dumpsters and the hot dog stand.
I was going to say they deserve far better than that. They're a beautiful instrument, but you're right. I think most of us think of the fiddles and the whistles and the banjos and the more popular instruments.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I don't take insult with it, because it's a more quiet instrument. It's not something you're going to put out a main stage at Irish Fest unless you have a band with you. There's a lot of mainstream bands who do use harp, but they're vocalists. They have other instruments, right? So it's more about crowd impact.
Well, also, it's complicated. You have how many strings on this one?
This one's 36.
And how many courses?
This is 4.5 octaves.
And you're not shifting keys, right, in this one?
No, if I want to, I can. I change these sharpening levers or the levers.
Okay. So you don't have, there's no pedal to shift.
No, you have to do them one at a time. So this changes what you can play on it. There are some lever harpists who they can play anything. Like, I've heard somebody play the Bach Violin Concerto on a Celtic harp like this, just changing your levers.
How does they go?
Yeah, I had to close my eyes because I realized how hard that was, and it was making me too nervous. And yeah, I like that it's simple and that I don't have to worry about all that. I like playing in a mode, and that's pretty much what Celtic music is. It's always modal.
When you say we think about the banjos and the whistles and the whatever and not the harp, I think that people think about the whistle, but it doesn't get as much airplay in traditional music as it used to. And especially the small D whistle. A lot of the whistles they're playing now are the sort of smooth-sounding, kind of contempo, like Fluke, Brian Finnegan kind of stuff. But the simple D whistle doesn't get a lot of play anymore.
So the big D, the drop
medium,
D.
Or the G or the A or whatever, because it's not as,
shrill.
Shrill. But it really resonated that the whistle and the harp combination allows for each instrument to be transparent and heard at the same time. And neither one covers the other.
Well, and this is, yes, I understand the accusation of it being shrill, but it's a beautiful sound.
Now, this whistle, I must say, I ordered special from Michael Burke to play with Kim, because I have other whistles that are really piercing up in the upper octaves. This is a lot sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Kim doesn't always have to put her earplugs in.
All her rehearsals.
Well, to be fair, she has tinnitus. So.
Okay.
But we found that the combination of this specific whistle, it's a specific model he makes, with the harp, even in acoustic situations, seems to work well.
Yeah, it is a beautiful sound, and I'm hoping that you will play a little bit now to demonstrate it again. What is this next collection of jigs that you're going to play?
It's a set of slip jigs, actually, which are 9/8 time. Thank you.
letting the ring go. I love it. Oh, it just has such a nice sustain at
Indeed,
the end.
Yeah.
That is just beautiful. Kim Robertson and Brett Lipschitz in Performance Studio. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
A bunch of slip jigs. One of my favorite, I love 9/8. There's something about that time signature that is just so much fun. It moves, but it's not as rigid, or it doesn't feel as rigid as, say, 6/8 or...
Yeah, it's a little swingy, and sometimes I like to be really tricky and put one more beat in there and do them in 10/8. I know, crazy, right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dancers hate you.
Well, it's only if I hate the dancers
okay.
that I do, which I never do. They're always great, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dancers, you're going to have some, Kim, for this concert. Tell me about
yes.
this. This is happening on the 16th of December.
Yes. Yes, at the Irish Cultural Heritage Center, and it's called a holiday harp concert because it's harp-centric. But I have all kinds of guest stars, people from the community, basically, some of my students, and Brett's going to be there, and Maria Terrace on fiddle. And we have dancers from the, what are they called, Cashel Dennehy?
Cashel Dennehy, School of Irish Dance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One of my harp students is a really great dancer, wins a lot of championships. She's only 11, so it's going to be a young group, but they're quite good, and so they're going to be coming. And her father plays bagpipes, David Pollock, so he plays both the Highland and the small pipes. So I asked him to play, and my students are going to play an ensemble and have a special guest, Mary Radspinner, who's a harpist that we both took from the same pedal harp teacher in Milwaukee back in the day, and she moved back here, so we're going to do some duets, and she's my ringer to play with the harp ensemble. So
fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Are you doing anything from Brittany?
We're not so far, although it's a possibility.
Good, yeah.
But we are going to do at least one Hanukkah song. And we've decided to put something in there to nod our heads to Hanukkah, which is also good.
Well, it's also beautiful, beautiful music.
It's a beautiful melody.
Yeah, our criteria for anything we do is do we love playing it?
And
it's good to be multicultural, I think, in this world, because we're all a little bit of this and that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Most of us are mutts.
Yeah.
It's true. And also, one of the things that you're going to notice in the concert is that Kim and I are going to be doing some stuff from a small album that we're putting out.
Small meaning short.
Short. It's about 7 tracks. It's technically kind of an EP.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to be, you know, pretty cool. So we're going to do EPs instead of full-length albums. And
it's cheaper.
Yes, that too.
Yes.
We just mixed it, and we're having it mastered. And I don't know if it's going to be ready for the concert.
And so what is it called? you just haven't decided the name of it yet?
Well, one of the slip jigs we played is called Fig for a Kiss, which is quite a common slip jig. But thinking about calling it A Kiss for a Fig, just to twist things up.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll
All
get
right.
back
and,
to you
And the
that.
Whole concept of the album is the fact that Kim and I sometimes, you know, we change up the music is ours. She's Kim and I'm Brett. And so we don't pretend on the album to be, like, purely traditional. The tunes are traditional. But it's also about the harp and the whistle. And that's what's unique about it.
Well, I think that's the advantage of being American. If because I'm not from any of these Celtic countries, I embrace my multiculturalism. I'll never impress them in Scotland or Ireland with my playing, but here I can take influences from all of them. I guess I think it's good to be a mutt. You know, I think that's, in a way, the advantage of America. When I first lived in France at the music conservatory, they considered me a dilettante. You know, like if you weren't totally focus on one instrument. I think I played guitar too, and it's like, well, you can't play guitar and harp.
Yeah,
like, what are
right.
you thinking?
If you weren't focused on Debussy, then you weren't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
We are dilettantes. Yeah.
But only in the best sense of the word.
Well,
I think of
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, truly. Because why not bring it all in? I mean, you mentioned Fluke earlier. Bands in Scotland and Ireland and England are starting to pull in all of those things. They're sort of borrowing from that American idea of why not mix it all up? There's nothing wrong with taking bits of this and bits of that and seeing what you come up with.
That's right. I mean, I play in a group called Mazurk, and we now have a fiddler from Norway who plays Hardanger fiddle. And before, we would have scoffed at the fact that, well, what does Norwegian music have to do with? But actually what we've realized is whatever we think sounds good and makes sense in the music for us, and like what Kim said, what we like playing is what we should do.
Well, it's a living tradition. That's what I didn't like about classical music, that all those guys are dead, you know, and there's only one way to play it. You know, you weren't allowed to put in a new improvisation part in the Debussy. You know, you play it the way it's written.
Of course, Baroque music, you can.
That's true.
Yes, you
that's
can.
The, well, that's
I was going to say, there are Baroque and a little bit further back.
Yeah, isn't that interesting that earlier music was actually more improvisational?
More free, yeah.
Yeah, because, but that's because they were...
Of course, there were still rules, of course.
Yeah, and, right. And a lot more background musicians, you know, just killing time. I still do that.
They had to figure out things to do as they were traveling from, you know, castle to castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, work out some improv. But, well, I'm hoping that you will leave us with some music today. But before you do, Kim and Brett, thank you so much. What are you going to take us out with?
I will end with it's actually a piece by an Irish composer named Turlough O'Carolan. He was a very prolific composer, and he was blind. And he was, just like you said, one of these people who traveled all around playing for his supper, basically. It's called Loftus Jones.
Celtic harpist Kim Robertson and multi-instrumentalist Brett Lipschitz will be part of the Holiday Harp Concert at the Irish Cultural and Heritage Center in Milwaukee this Saturday. There is more information at wuwm.com. Our in-studio performance was engineered by Jason Reavy.